acceptable story of an individual, as we all are vulnerable to these types of illnesses, and his family, who had just a complete experience that literally at every point and level failed to secure the treatment that he was entitled to.
It must have been harrowing for his family. In the end, the man actually died without getting the care that he would have been due. But there's no direct correlation between his death and this lack of care, is there?
Well, there's, you know, it's one of those circumstances where I think that the nature of the condition, the brain tumour, it would have been very difficult to predict whether the intervention or the timely intervention would have made a difference to the outcome. No one could say that with any absolute certainty. But I think what the family is left with is that awful doubt that if an earlier intervention had been made that was effective, the outcome could have been changed. And that's the really painful and awful circumstance they found themselves in.
Time and again on this programme, people complain, and they complain about health issues, they complain about social care issues and many other things as well. It's unlikely that people are ever going to contact the Ombudsman to say, listen, I want to point out something that went very well for me. You're there to be complained to. Are you depressed with the number of health and social care issues that come across your desk?
Well, I think one of the things we need to remind ourselves of is that each of these is a very personal and human story. And I think it's very important, and I highlight this to my staff all the time, that, you know, this is a family that has been hugely impacted. So in that sense, it becomes very depressing. Sometimes, and I mean, recently I've had an experience of this, one's whole view of it can be turned over by virtue of a trust responding in a really powerful and meaningful way, engaging, looking at how they may change their practice, their procedures, their training, in order to ensure it doesn't happen again. And I think when that happens, you see potentially in some of these situations, promising things arising from the most difficult of circumstances. So that gives me an optimism. I think I want people to begin to see complaints in trusts as opportunities to find out how their services are performing rather than administrative tasks that have to be done. And really people sort of resent the time taken. And I think that relatives who need answers sense that level of sort of in what they might describe as indifference. And I think that's hugely damaging to trust and confidence in the system. So I can be very optimistic on occasion, so I'm not in any way pessimistic. And I do need to say, and this is important, Frank, if you would allow me, that we need to set these complaints against all the positive experiences that people have with the health service every day. And you're right to point out what I'm looking at is, you know, a number of complaints, just over 300, against all of the patients that are seen every day of every year by the healthcare system.
But to ensure that we don't have these very sad stories that you do deal with, is there a considerable number of people who've got to accept changes have to be made from ministerial level, through the trusts, through the unions, through the workers? Does everyone have to accept that change is absolutely essential?
Well, I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think that already is accepted, that we're in a very difficult and different time. I had the privilege and honour to work in the health service 20 years ago, and it was a very different environment. The level of complexity now, the level of specialisms and subspecialisms all focused on getting a good outcome for someone makes it a very hazardous and challenging environment both to work in and to indeed be a patient in. That requires an alertness and an awareness of what can go wrong and a commitment to proactively managing each circumstance to ensure that we avoid errors and mistakes. And that's a cultural thing, as you suggest. So, you know, it's not just, I think we as an organization equally need to engage in that culture. So I think everyone has to lift our game because it is now a very much more challenging environment.
We're at risk of making you sound like the health ombudsman. You've had other stories cross your desk also. You've quite a wide remit.
It's a very extensive remit, and I suppose it's not that well understood I think one of the very positive things that I allude to briefly in this report is that the Assembly, as a legislature, and this is the first time it's ever happened, have sponsored a new ombudsman bill, which will come into legislation hopefully later this year, which will put this office on a much more visible and public footing, which has been one of my frustrations. You know, I think that we have tended, by the nature of the legislation we operate under, not to have had that visibility. And then I think we will see the totality of the public service, if you like, visibly giving account for itself through the effective and proper examination of complaints. I do want to highlight the improvement, for example, this year we've seen in central government departments. You may have noted in my report where we've seen a reduction of 26% in complaints about the executive departments. And I think that's down to the leadership given by the head of the civil service and the commitment of the departments to take complaints more seriously, to use good complaint handling procedures and the principles of good administration to give better outcomes for citizens, which is what the whole focus has to be about.
A prime example of something that's always irritating parents year in, year out, the school's admission policy. That's something you deal with, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And we are, in fact, our whole focus within the new legislation, as I say, will be that schools, we have a very narrow jurisdiction in schools currently around things like admissions, but actually we'll have a much wider jurisdiction around schools once the new legislation is passed. And that will, I think, bring us again into a much more visible role as far as parents are concerned.
How many people are in the Ombudsman's office? We run the risk of confusing the Ombudsman with other Ombudsman's offices that exist for, you know, policing or prisons or whatever, but how many are in the Ombudsman's office yours?
We have 30 staff in all, including myself, and some of them are, those would be part-time, and some of them are on job shares, but 30 people working here. Our budget is around £2 million, and you know, we are required, like everybody else, to achieve cost improvement and savings in our budget year on year, 5% reduction this year. So, you know, again, I think, and I say it at the end of my report, you know, my staff work extremely hard, and we're constantly looking at our sister offices in Wales and Scotland in particular, who do tremendous work and greatly innovative work as to how we perform against them, and equally our counterparts in Dublin, to see what we can learn from what others are doing. So we all now have this jurisdiction that's very common. The Scottish Ombudsman does policing as well, and obviously the Welsh Ombudsman doesn't have policing in his jurisdiction. But there's a lot of comparative judgments being made now about our performance.
And just finally, if someone has an issue and they want to take it to Dr. Tom Frawley, the Ombudsman, how do they do it?
Well, the first thing I think is to make the point that we are the court of last resort. So it's important that they have brought their complaint or their concern to the actual body that they're concerned about, given it an opportunity through its complaint process to deal with their complaint. However, if they are unhappy at the end of that process, then they should bring their complaint to me through this office, and they can do that by phone, or they can do it by email, or they can do it by fax, or they can do it by writing to me. And we have a free post if they do choose to write, and indeed those other channels are also free, obviously.
Dr. Frawley, thanks for your time this morning. The details on the very latest report.